All right, we've a lot going on in the programme in this last hour. We've Wellness Wednesday on the way. Chris is going to join us with some business news, and then Oisin's going to be joining us just to flag up what's happening at the weekend, and of course that draw for an overnight stay in Dublin plus two tickets to the All-Ireland final. But we're talking now about the important matter of the pandemic aftermath, the mental health impact of lockdown. Turn to Me has been looking into this and highlighting some, I suppose, lasting mental health effects of lockdown. I'm delighted to welcome Fiona O'Malley, CEO of Turn to Me, onto the programme. Fiona, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So are we talking really, I suppose, about the impacts of what was in what people were asked to do? Or is it also maybe the impacts of long COVID? Is it specific to one area or does it encompass all?
So it wouldn't really be a clinical evaluation of long COVID. It's more the long-lasting impacts of the lockdowns. And there are a couple of different things during the period of lockdown itself. It had a detrimental impact on people's mental health, and also the aftermath. There were a heightened sense of anxiety around infection. And then for some cohorts of society, people haven't really gone back to normal socialising, and they haven't gone back to their normal routines, which has had a detrimental impact on their mental health.
And before we dig a little deeper into that, do you think it's important to that, you know, governments, our government, whichever government, take heed of studies or investigations like this? Because whenever you're making big decisions, you really have to balance it up, don't you? You have to sort of say, right, well, we're making this decision to protect this cohort in this way, to limit this impact. But mm-hmm. what are the implications of us doing that for this group of people and that cohort mm-hmm. and the impact to them? So is it vital, do you think, that this forms part of our plans for any future events?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose any type of governmental policy or any type of investment has to be part of a balancing act. We understand, obviously, the Exchequer is not unlimited. The governments, unfortunately, don't have unlimited resources. However, we do want to encourage the government to invest in mental health in the upcoming budget and to address the mental health aftermath of the lockdowns. That's essential to building long-term societal resilience. We see it more as an investment than an expenditure, because when you invest in people, for example, who may not have gone back to work since the pandemic ended, or people who are very isolated, a more united society is a more beneficial society as well.
Yeah, let's go to number two here. Loneliness and social isolation. You know, there are state services that were taken away, daycare and that type of stuff. Around about the time of lockdown have never returned or are starting to return slowly. But still, even when they do return, people are isolated or they feel lonely, and that can be urban or, you know, rural isolation. Mm-hmm. Can we be doing more to bring people back into sort of society, if you know what I mean, and interaction?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to particularly focus on the elderly and those living alone or who are a little bit more isolated, rather than, rolling out services that might not be as necessary. We're not looking for a silver bullet to cure all social ailments, but we do certainly think that there are certain cohorts of society that were disproportionately affected by the lockdowns and never really, really recovered. We did see in some of the surveys that we were running in our own users, we did see a correlation between the people who did not go back to normalcy or normality after the lockdowns, or who still remained more isolated, and a heightened sense of anxiety and also higher levels of depression in that cohort compared to the average cohort who did go back to normalcy. And I suppose when we think about, like, humans, we are a social species, we are tribal in nature, and that old saying, no man is an island, it is important for us to socialise and it is important for us to have some type of routine. Otherwise, you know, our mind can slip into depression. We might not have the same sense of purpose that people do when they have more societal connections.
Yeah, and there's not always an awareness of that as well. You see, people believe believe that that is just the way their life is. And that's why we have to reach people and say, no, actually, step back out again. We're ready to start socialising, because you can get a little bit institutionalised in that. And you don't necessarily realise that you've lost your daily routines, that you aren't feeling as well as you normally do. You think that that's normal, but it's not. Heightened anxiety and uncertainty. This is constant exposure to pandemic-related news. Now, this is different, I think, to sort of the awful scenes that we're seeing from Gaza, or perhaps maybe the threat of a global conflict or something like that there. Because for a lot of people, there, as horrible as this might sound, it's actually really just the way it is. There's a distance there, if you know what I mean. Whereas the pandemic was on your doorstep, it was inside your house, it was in your shop, it was everywhere. And I think people were pretty much more vulnerable to the constant bombardment of information and sort of negative news, because the government have conceded they were trying to scare us into complicity, and the media did its part in that. And I don't mean that as a judgment, but that's, you know, on the record.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it's certainly, you know, the lockdowns served their purpose in curtailing the spread of the virus. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to criticise the government.
No, neither was I. As I say, they did say that certain things were introduced with a view to keeping people in their houses.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is interesting when you look at other countries that didn't impose lockdown measures. They certainly had higher, significantly higher rates of infection. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if their surplus death rates were any higher than Europe's surplus death rates. But you know, it certainly did serve a purpose in terms of trying to curtail the spread of the virus. But you know, we did see a lot of people. They would have, when they were in their homes and working from home, there wouldn't have been, the lines would have been blurred between working time and personal time, and some people would have been expected to be at the disposal of their employers 24/7, particularly businesses or SMEs who may have been a bit more worried about the business surviving, or the organisation surviving, and as a result of that remote working and, you know, having a grey area between an office and a bedroom, a lot of people experienced burnout and exhaustion. And, you know, wasn't just remote working, it was homeschooling, it was caregiving responsibilities, oftentimes all of these things coming together at once, and that left many people feeling emotionally drained, mentally depleted, and ultimately burning out. So when you have that consistent level of adrenaline and, I suppose, vigilance and multitasking, juggling all these different balls, a lot of people did find lockdown quite difficult. And we are seeing the aftermath of it now, not only people ultimately reflecting and recovering on the lockdown itself, but the aftermath of the lockdown. A lot of people still have not returned to normal social outings.
Yeah, and we really, really encourage people to do so. And Turn to Me has a free counselling or free counselling sessions that maybe you might recognise this in someone else or in yourself, and you can maybe give them a gentle nudge in this direction, or maybe say to yourself, right, I'll see what I can get from this. So talk to me what turntome.ie is offering.
So Turn to Me offers up to 6 free counselling sessions to adults living in Ireland. We also offer free and unlimited support groups on anxiety, depression, grief and relationship issues. We have something called a thought catcher service. It's like an online mood diary. You can post about how you're feeling, and if you want, you can share it with your therapist. But I suppose a unique selling point for Turn to Me is that we have no waiting lists. So what that means is you can book to attend a support group today, and you can turn up this evening and attend that support group. We also have the quickest turnaround for free professional mental health services in Ireland, which means our average turnaround time between someone booking and attending their first counselling session is 3 to 5 working days. But you can log in, create an account, log in on our website, turntome.ie, and you can see immediately on the calendar all the availabilities of the counselling sessions for the rest of the week. So, you know, that's that's probably our unique selling point, and that's probably something that people will benefit from, particularly if they feel like, you know, they need a little bit of extra support. If anyone read any of the CAMHS reports, some of the mental health services in Ireland, free professional mental health services, have waiting lists of up to 18 months. Now, 18 days is a long time for someone to wait for a counselling session, let alone 18 months. I don't think that's particularly beneficial to anyone. So, you know, particularly if someone's in distress and you're telling them you'll have to wait a year and a half and we can help you then, personally, I think that's unacceptable. That's not to criticise anyone working in these services. I know resources are tight and people are overstretched. But again, I would encourage the government to really look at prioritising mental health in the upcoming budget, and also the government to look at maybe a little bit of extra resources to support people who have not recovered from the lockdown and who are still in that state of isolation, which we can see is having a significantly detrimental impact on their anxiety levels, their moods, their quality of life, and those increased depression levels. We can see a significantly obvious link between that isolation and those mental health ailments as well.
All right, Fiona, listen, thanks for that. I appreciate your time. Have a great day. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye bye. That's Fiona O'Malley, CEO of Turn to Me. Check out more info on that, turntome.ie. Best wishes to Gavin Boyle and Pat Conaghan on another fantastic festival. Looking forward to the food fair. Pat will like to hear that. Gavin and Pat, wishing you the best of luck with this year's festival from Trish in Kincastle. And just to remind you, next week we'll have all 15 Roses, Marys in studio with us. And of course, last year's successful Mary, so looking forward to that. Please play a request for Damien Gallagher, celebrating a birthday today, from Mum, Dad and all the family. Say hello to a very special friend, Christy from Bridget Dowd's. Okay, there you go. I wish to goodness people would stop referring to Croke Park as Croker. I don't like it, and it's very disrespectful. Its proper name is Croke Park. That comes in from Anna Connolly in Mobile. I get you, Anna. I just, in the wider scale of things, I just don't have the mental capacity to be upset about it. I understand where you're coming from. It's a term of endearment, isn't it? But I understand it's subjective and you don't like it, and that is fine, and I respect your view, and that is exactly why I read it out. Charles here says, listener, why do government insist on 23% VAT on building materials and want to give McDonald's a dig out? Great show, Greg. Thanks, Charles. Good on you, Greg. You'll be accused of being cynical now, like me. I believe nothing is secure anymore. We're warned to be wary of the Chinese, where I believe we should be very afraid of the US and how they are using your information and who they share it with. But I mean, your own government is introducing facial recognition software everywhere you move. Potentially, your movements can be tracked and logged and what have you. So maybe it's a distraction. Hi, Greg. Say hi to all the GEA stewards going to Croke Park. These are men and women who volunteer to keep us all safe at matches, who find our lost children and are helpful to all. Lovely occasion for them too. The amount of All-Ireland final tickets up for raffle has become a pain. I know all GEA clubs are entitled to an allocation of tickets. Years ago, these would have been traded between GEA club members. I certainly know the massive cost of running a club even before a ball is even kicked. Is it legal? Possibly is. Some add accommodation to water down the T's and C's. Perhaps we're running it ourselves, a competition which will end shortly. I mean, we're a commercial enterprise and it's tied in with a commercial sponsor has access to a certain amount of tickets because of the amount of money that they give to the GEA, and there's accommodation involved there as well. What's happening, what this caller is referencing to, is a lot of clubs down the country. They're raising money for their local club, I suppose, and they're raffling tickets and they're promoting them into the county. And, you know, it can be a little bit of a slap in the face for those awaiting tickets for themselves, or who miss out, or who their young ones who attended loads of games didn't get to go at. So, I mean, I have my views. I am not Ireland Radio. I'm Greg Hughes, but there you go. With data analytics these days, it wouldn't be hard for the GEA and Ticketmaster to come together and see who has bought tickets and offer tickets to those who've bought them all year through people's Ticketmaster's accounts. Yeah, I mean, that might be simpler, but then some people get them through SuperValue, some people get them through their local club. I mean, it's a tight one for clubs to divvy up because, you know, they've got fans who've gone to, you know, a series of games and then say, well, they're going to favour those who are active in the club, you know, maybe running camps or volunteer an awful lot of time, and that in and of itself is going to pee some people off. It's a toughie because there's 90,000 seats, and there's a million people perhaps that want to go. Not quite, but you know, it's a toughie. It's a complicated one. Right, Chris Ashmore is with me now. We are talking business matters. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
The podcast, is it live now, or have you yet to press publish?
In about 10 minutes, okay, when I come out of the studio, basically.
Right, well, yeah, okay, we'll talk about it then. Business news first, though, and government, obviously, big announcements this week.
Yeah, lots going on. We've heard about, the National Development Plan, and you know as well as anybody, Greg, we have numerous announcements of things that are spread out over a long period of time. We've also had the summer economic statement, and as we look forward to, or do you look forward to, the budget, there's always a little bit of leaking out and sort of seeing what the feedback is. Now, the government's talking about possibly $1.5 billion of tax cuts. Now, what has come out this morning is the hotel sector, which we will be talking about later on, of course, has been lobbying for a reduction in the VAT rate. Some figures out. This $1.5 billion in tax cuts that seems to be coming down the road, well, you can straight away say $1 billion of that will be if the VAT rate goes back to 9%. So in terms of your income tax cuts, that's less.
But
to play
it's hard
there.
It's hard for me to reconcile how certain elements of that industry gouge the public and are going to be then rewarded with $1 billion. Like, by the way, let's make this very, very clear. This does not mean that the cost of you eating or drinking in these premises gets cheaper. This is to make them more viable, okay? So don't, there's no point saying, well, they're not passing on. They're not obliged to. That's not what it's about. It's making them more competitive or more profitable. I just wonder if there's a little bit of chucking this into the ether and letting the business groups and let the public fight out over who should get this billion. Kite flying.
Absolutely. And, you know, I suppose one of the things that's a bit of a bugbear for those in the hospitality business here is that compared to a lot of other countries, we have quite a high VAT rate. There's also been talk in recent times about a hotel tax, possibly in cities like Dublin coming. It's quite common when you go to a foreign country that, and you don't expect this, that there could be a €2 or €5 per night charge. That would go, though, as far as I understand, in Dublin's case, to actually into the city council coffers. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's somewhat of a tangent on that. But,
all right. Well, there are no profits with the likes of Ryanair, and they are doing well.
Yeah. Now, it's when you look at the figures, they really are pretty startling just how successful Ryanair has been. Latest figures out, now this is Europe's biggest airline, profits more than doubling in the 3 months to the end of June. So this is only one quarter, €820 million. It's a phenomenal amount of money. Ryanair said it carried 57.9 million passengers in the 3 months to the end of June. And they're talking about 206 million passengers in this year, which it's hard to get your head around. That's a lot of planes in the sky, and it could be more.
And according to Michael O'Leary, their fares for this summer are the same as 2 years ago. There was a peak in, or a trough and a peak. You can fly to Barcelona Airport and back in September from Dublin Airport for under 100 quid. Yeah. If you just take a small rucksack that goes in under the seat in front of you. I mean, that's accessible.
It's,
you know, that's why I loathe the criticism of Ryanair sometimes. I've had bad experiences by them, but September, go over to 25 degrees if you want for under 100 quid.
Yeah, I was actually looking up flights recently from Belfast to Lithuania, €29 each way in September.
You know, so
your car parking would cost you more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And just O'Leary, of course, he's been constrained with the expansion because they're awaiting deliveries of new aircraft from Boeing, and these are more fuel efficient aircraft. And he's actually saying that, and this is back into the whole Dublin Airport argument about cap numbers and everything, that he wants to have more fuel efficient aircraft coming in, but they're actually going elsewhere at the moment. And he says Dublin Airport can cater for 60 million passengers. The cap was 32. They're talking about 40.
The thing that perplexes me, Ryanair don't currently have nighttime flights. I think their first flight's away at 6 a.m.
At 6 in the morning, yeah.
But he's very keen to get more flights at night, so maybe he's looking to open up more nighttime flights. Yeah. All right, Chris.
Never a dull moment with young O'Leary.
No, there isn't. But, you know, a lot of what he says, I can understand. I see people with their foot underneath their bags at the bag drop trying to take 5 or 6 kilograms off them. Yeah. You know, are they the 1% he's talking about that are exploiting?
If you stick to the rules, you won't have any problems.
That is it. And if you don't like the rules, join a different club. Right, who's on the show today?
Yeah, a couple of people on this week. I've been looking at two sectors. One, the whole area of connectivity. Now, around the country, this dates back to an initiative in 2019 to have these digital hubs, particularly in rural areas. It's been a huge success. There's over 387, or not over, there are 387 hubs nationwide.
Over 386.
Over 386, yeah. More than 20 in Donegal. And they, of course, provide people with a chance to go in, be it just for an hour or for a day or a week or whatever. So I've been looking into that. I've been speaking with Magella Orr, who is involved in the hub down in Termon at the Creveen Centre down there, and also GTEC in Carrigart. So by way of example, she's been explaining just how big a success they've been. And at this time of year, they're actually getting holidaymakers who are popping in to do a little bit of work.
In Donegal alone, as I say, they're everywhere from Arranmore, Gidore, Carrigart, Termon, Fintown, Inishowen, Bundoran. There's a number in Letterkenny. So yeah, definitely the hubs have really taken off all over Ireland. So in Carrigart here, we are a purpose-built hub. So there's 18 hot desks and a meeting room. So, you know, we have the usual, the high-spec broadband and everything. It's very beneficial to the area, to people who are coming to stay in the area for holidays, families. They're coming, but maybe they can't afford to take a week or 2 weeks off work at the same time. So one parent can work from here while the other is back at the caravan or whatever, the holiday accommodation with the children, and vice versa, maybe the following week. We do have some local people as well. We've had people here that are, you know, in the process of building houses. And the, also the other one at the moment as well is some people who had home offices, but maybe their houses have had to be demolished due to defective concrete blocks. You know, they need somewhere to work from as well.
You know, really affordable. But if you think of what it must have been like, or not was, but what it was like to hire an hour or 15 minutes in an internet cafe back in the day, and here we have you effectively being able to hot desk your business from one of these hubs for, you know, really, yeah, I mean, price of a cup of coffee or two.
Yeah, there's summer offers out there, a fiver for an hour, a tenner for a day down there in Carrigart. And as she alluded to there, you know, there could be somebody coming up here on holidays, and maybe they can stay a little bit longer because they can nip in, do an hour's work, get away from the beach for an hour, go in, have peace and quiet, high quality digital access. So a win-win situation.
Who's our second guest?
Second guest, now we touched on the hotel industry earlier. I've been speaking to Carolyn Murray, who's vice chair of the Donegal branch of the Irish Hotels Federation, just about how the tourism season is turning out, the challenges and opportunities ahead. And of course, they have been lobbying the government for that cut in the VAT rates.
There's very significant challenges as well around business margins due to the already exceptionally high business costs. They just continue to rise, and obviously hotel revenues have to remain kind of flat to be competitive in the market because the demand is slightly lower. Like here in Dunfanaghy and Donegal, ours would be mainly domestic, and obviously you go into the supermarkets yourself, you can see the inflation in purchasing food. So all these factors are, you know, coming at us from all these different angles. And we're just doing our best here to keep everybody working. As you know, like, we employ over 8,000 in the hospitality industry here alone in Donegal. It's a big chunk of our livelihoods, and we're working hard to sustain that.
It's just our tax system is often a blunt instrument. And, you know, the likes of the Shandon, Arnold's, the Beach, the Carrigart, the Abbey, the Central, you know, working hard in and around this part of the world and sort of have that sort of toxicity from what can happen in our major cities in terms of pricing and what have you. It's just, I wish we could have a more, maybe trim 250 million of that billion and not be giving it to those that are they're taxing the people themselves with their gouging, you know, and you're not seeing that in Donegal. Now, people will say, yeah, but I tried to book a Saturday night in a hotel and it was 270 quid in Donegal. It's, if you go somewhere on a Saturday night, that's how much it's going to be. That's the bottom line in the middle of the summer, because that's how they get through November when there's not a sinner in the hotels. That is part and parcel of it. That's a consumer's choice. But what we see is very different in different parts of the country. Right, so that podcast will be very live very soon on our website in the listen back section, the playback section. And Chris, I don't know what the story with Sunday is. It's scheduled for Sunday at 6. What's the crack? I don't know.
That's all we can say.
By the time the two Brendans and Oisin might be voiceless and they'll be glad to hand over at 6. It depends how it goes. We'll see. Yeah, so but it's scheduled for 6. And you can listen to it whenever you like. But I know it's very popular as a live program in inverted commas on a Sunday. Chris, are you in next week?
Yes, back in the middle of the week.
Back in the middle of the week. Yeah. Okay. Look after yourself. Have a wee trip. You're heading away, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay, good stuff. Enjoy, Chris. Right, okay, the lines are closed on our All-Ireland package. So thank you to all of those who took part in that. We'll be announcing a winner shortly. And just reminding you of what you can look forward to in Radioland if you can't get down to Dublin, but also in person if you are in Dublin for this weekend as the Green and Gold takes over the capital. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And the one thing I've learned over the course of the last couple of days is we in the news and current affairs section are not more productive, but I think more relaxed and calm and organised, Oisin.
Don't know about that, Greg.
I think so.
I don't know about that. We're going okay.
All right, so we're going to be doing a draw in a couple of minutes. Talk to us through the draw.
The draw, okay. It is, of course, All Ireland. Greg, can I say something about tickets before we start? Because we have two tickets for the All Ireland final to give away in association with our wonderful colleagues at Airgrid. And we're also throwing in an overnight stay at the Hardcourt Hotel in Dublin. It's the Donegal Holland Hotel. It's on Hardcourt Street. It's in the heart of the city, and it's owned by the McGill family, who originated from Glenty. So it's a fantastic prize. We have two tickets for the final and an overnight stay the night before the match. I was talking to a gentleman this morning who talks a lot of football, and he says the ticket thing exploded over the last number of weeks. And he had a conversation with a gentleman who always talks football to, but for the first 15 minutes of the conversation, it was about tickets. So and before they even get talking about football. So that just shows the level of where people are talking about it. And there's going to be a lot of unhappy people, unfortunately, in relation to tickets. People are not going to get tickets for this match. But you have to bear in mind the volunteers at clubs who have been working extremely hard over the last week to try and accommodate everybody as best they can. And I would suggest to people who are out there who are disappointed, who cannot get the ticket that they want, those that get a ticket but it's not in the area that they want, to be mindful of the people within their club, their executive members, who have, some have taken time off work over the last number of days just to sort this.
I'm mindful of that, but I'm also mindful of very loyal supporters who've gone with their families.
I'm very, very mindful that there is going to be some upset people here.
Why have some people known what tickets they're getting on Monday and some won't?
Because they're season ticket holders, because they bought season tickets at the start.
But some clubs have distributed their general allocation, and I think where and we can always learn from it. And I'm not going to argue with you or contradicting you. You are the man that knows this stuff. But there are some who they had to find out by Thursday, or they have to pay a hotel for 300 quid or cancel the hotel. And the neighbouring club might have given all of their tickets or distributed them on the Wednesday, and then they're not finding out till Friday.
Yeah. And there may be reasons for that. And one of the reasons for it is maybe they are still trying to get an allocation for members. Maybe they are still trying to work a system out where they can get their members tickets.
But you can understand the complicated.
I can understand their frustration of it is, but I also know from the other side of it that there is people who are in every single club in this county that are working extremely hard to try and accommodate everybody as best as possible, and some are going to get a raw end of it because people are not happy. I get it. I know all about families that have gone to matches throughout the year and are struggling to get a ticket this week. Mm-hmm. So it is, and this is just not a Donegal problem this year because Donegal's in the final. This is a county problem. But my point was, just bear in mind that you, when you are dealing with members who have worked tirelessly over the last number of days and weeks to try and get a ticket allocation sorted as best as possible for their members, that you just sort of treat them in a bit of manners and respect. That's all I'm saying.
Everyone should always be treated with manners, and they should always be treated with respect. And I definitely think that's a two-way street.
Sorry, that's off the chest, right?
But I also believe that's a two-way. I believe that's a two-way street. Yeah. But you're right. Okay. Yeah. Who's with us here? What's this man's name? This is Lawrence.
This is Lawrence. We know Lawrence very well. Lawrence, of course, from Highland Motors, has joined us in the studio.
How's things going at Highland Motors?
Did you see the lovely green and yellow cars that they have? The Renault 5.
I keep punching people. Yellow car, no hit back. It's fantastic. Yeah. Getting all my air. But things are going really well for you, Lawrence, over there.
Things are going good, and the build up to the match, like, everybody's excited, and like, to be fair, the two cars are, one's yellow, one's green, Donegal colours, and it's kind of hit home a lot with a lot of people, like, you know, and it's doing good. And unfortunately we have no tickets, and tickets is definitely the buzzword, you know. Every second phone call I'm getting, unfortunately, it's not about cars, it's about tickets, you know. But I do agree with what Ashton said there. Like, you know, I do know a lot of people in committees, and that I know people working last night to 12 o'clock trying to organise tickets so that they can hand them out. It is tough in the clubs. It's going to be tough on a lot of people. A lot of people probably that deserve to get tickets aren't going to get tickets, but well, as Ashton says, it's...
With a capacity of 90,000, and could you sell 350,000? You know what I mean?
One figure
doesn't go into the other. Yeah. And of course, too, with Jim McGuinness, the amount of people registering before March 31st has gone through the roof as well, because that is the Jim McGuinness factor as well. So anyway, I don't want to fall out with anyone, so we'll move on. Lawrence is here with a very special role.
Lawrence has two special roles this week because Highland Motors have, of course, jumped on board to support us in our Road for Croker. Everything we're doing this weekend coming in Dublin is an association with Highland Motors, and we invited him along to be our independent adjudicator, just to let everybody know that we are conducting this draw in a proper manner, because we do have two All-Ireland final tickets.
Gold Dust
in association with Airgrid up for grabs, and we're going to throw in that overnight stay in the Harcourt Hotel in Dublin City Centre
the night before the match. Okay.
So it's a great prize. It's a fantastic prize, and there'll be one lucky winner off us now in the next couple of moments, Greg.
Rightio. So we're doing this via computer this time, and that's why we have Lawrence.
This is Lawrence's random number generator software that we do. So what myself and Lawrence will do first of all is we're going to do a trial run here, just to show that the system is operational. And when Lawrence has it all, the thumbs up, we're ready to go, then we will do the actual draw. Okay. So this is just to show that the system is operational.
Right, so Lawrence is just watching what Josh is doing here, and he's running a random number generator, and whatever number comes out, that is associated with the ticket, and they win the prize, two tickets.
This is just a trial here.
The two tickets and
that we're doing at the moment, Greg. So, there you go, Lawrence. That is just the trial run. Yeah,
that's the number.
Okay. Yep. So tell everybody in the Northwest and worldwide that are listening here that we have a system that is
robust and good to go,
is fully operational.
Okay, we are about to do the draw. So click it again.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll just clear the generator once again, and we'll start the process.
Somebody's going to be very happy.
Somebody is going to be very, very, very happy.
And popular.
So, okay, so we have our number, and I'm going
to
pass this number. There you are, just to confirm, Lawrence, that number is there. Yeah.
Okay, so Lawrence is our independent adjudicator. It's not that you don't trust me or Osh, it's just always good to have someone external from the building involved in something like this. So Osh and Kelly's writing down.
Donna Marie has it. She will now go to Bronwyn, and we will check.
All right, so Bronwyn, Donna Marina has the winning name. We're not going to reveal the name yet.
We're going to try and get them on
air.
We're
going to try and get them on, and that's why we haven't announced it, because we don't want to spoil the surprise. But the winner's name came up, and we are trying to contact them now. Right, so if they go on Saturday night in the Hardcore Hotel, in the D2, in the Hardcore Hotel, which I had to clarify, wrecking my brain yesterday, that they're the same place, right? But they are. So you have a show from 8.
We have a show from 8 o'clock on Saturday at the Hardcore Hotel on Hardcore Street. We will be in the bar, which is called the D2. We'll be in the bar part of the hotel. And we'll be talking to Donegal supporters, Greg. We'll be talking to them and having a nice chat as we lead up to the final. There'll be a few football people around as well. We're going to have a couple of giveaways. We've got retro Donegal jerseys to give away, courtesy of the guys in O'Reilly Sports, who are going to kit us out for Saturday night as well. So we are looking forward to a lovely evening as we build up towards the big game on Sunday. We may get a bit of live music as well. And also coming up, of course, over the weekend, at the Hardcourt is Donegal's very own Rory Gallagher, who's going to be playing.
He's doing a gig there, isn't he?
He's doing two gigs, actually. He's doing Saturday night in the Hardcourt, and he's also coming in after the match on Sunday at 6:30. After the game on Sunday evening, he'll be playing live there too, exclusively at the Hardcourt Hotel. So no doubt they will be coming in, flocking, and they're huge numbers to see Rory Gallagher and Jimmy Swann match. But we will be there, of course, just before that at 8 o'clock in the Hardcourt.
Now, is that on the radio?
That will be on the radio as well. So if you're in Dublin and you're down for the weekend, swing over to the Hardcourt on Saturday evening. We'll get the crack going. So we will. We'll also be broadcast out live in the radio. And it's all in association with the guys over at Highland Motors. And that, of course, is the first stop in Dublin.
Second stop, Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. We're going to feed you, Greg. We're just going to give you a breakfast. We're going to give him a breakfast, Lawrence. So up at the Bonnington Hotel in Dublin, we're going to have our big match brunch, which is, come along. Our best advice to you is to fuel up, okay? Get fed ahead of the game. It's going to be a long day, and you can book your breakfast online.
Just stay there a second.
We'll pause this because we've got a very important person on the
line. Possibly. Let's see. Just double check everything. Hello, Evelyn.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Good stuff.
Morning, Evelyn.
Do you know what the crack is this weekend? Anything going on Sunday, or what's the story?
Oh, yeah, of course. Have Donegal are playing Kerry.
Yeah, how would you like to go...
What sport's that in? What game's that?
how would you like to go down and with a friend or partner and cheer on Donegal with two great tickets and be there nice and fresh because you can sleep in the Hardcore on Saturday night? How does that sound?
That sounds brilliant, yeah.
Well, did you enter any draws recently?
Yeah.
Did you enter any draws recently?
I did, yeah.
Well, you know, your name's come out and you've won that prize. You've won the overnight stay and the two tickets to the All-Ireland final, Evelyn.
Well done, Evelyn.
Oh, brilliant.
Well
done.
Congratulations,
thank
Evelyn.
You.
Evelyn, you're going to become a very popular person. Everybody will want to be your plus one.
I know, yeah. that's brilliant. I never won anything, so that's a shock.
Well, that is good. You know, it's nice because often people won. Did you ever win anything? Yeah, I won a car last week. No, so it's great. It's great to see the luck going around a bit, and hopefully you'll be able to get down to the game. Will you, or will you have to pass the prize on? You're able to get down. Come on, you are, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'll be able to go down, and I might give it to my niece and her father. But hopefully, I'll be able to go down myself.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's fantastic. And there's the overnight stay there as well, which is like hen's teeth as well, and the tickets. And Evelyn, thank you for entering, and best of luck to you. Enjoy the match. Who's going to win?
Hopefully Donegal.
You couldn't give me one little up Donegal just before I let you go, could you?
Up Donegal.
I want to hear you more loudly on Sunday. All right, Evelyn, take care of yourself.
Well done, Evelyn. Congratulations.
That's Evelyn Friel-Tivlin from Letterkenny, who is the lucky winner and doesn't normally win, which is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice
two
prize.
Tickets Great. And an overnight stay for what has the potential to be a huge weekend. Do you dare to dream, Lawrence? You know, I think when you get to a final, I think sort of, you know, cautious optimism or not wishing to jinx things, I think that has to go out the window. What we need is, you know, a Croke Park and a county full of people that know we can do this and to cheer on the boys like we're going to do it.
I think we're going to do it. I think everybody's pretty positive. And, like, you know, I think to be fair, Jim has a plan, and like we've trusted him, and everybody's bought into it. The players, the fans have paid all their money, so I think we'll win it. Won't be easy, but we'll win it.
Yeah, and that's it, Oisin. Let's just, before we go on to that and get your views, just to remind people, by the way, we have a second show from Dublin on Sunday morning. It's from 11 to 1pm. I'll be there. We'll have live music. Oisin and Brendan might drop in for a bit of a chat. The whole Highland team will be there. And we're broadcasting from 11 to 1. And the guests on that day really is you. We're hoping to speak to loads of you as you fuel up. And just to let you know, it's fill your boots, all you can eat, €20 buffet that the Bonington is putting on in the same space we're on. Maybe
did you tell them about the giveaway?
No, what giveaway?
The giveaway in the Bonington.
What is it?
If you enter, if you pre-book
your
breakfast.
Yeah.
You know that sheet of paper you got at the start of the week? If you pre-book your breakfast at the Bonington ahead of Sunday, you will enter a draw for a free overnight stay at the Bonington.
Oh, wowzers. Okay. That must have been at the bottom of the sheet, isn't it?
Small
press.
Okay.
All right. Listen, it's been busy. Right. So get onto our website. Actually, you can click through our website to pre-book that breakfast. And everyone I'm talking to is going to be there.
Yeah.
Are going to head there and sort of head down.
Yeah, they're all going. They seem to be all going. So get down and pre-book your breakfast. Okay. Yeah. Pre-book it because the hotel will obviously be looking for numbers for the amount of food that they can cook.
What time does the breakfast kick off?
The breakfast, our show's 11 to 1. So we'll be opening the doors to the main conference room. He's thinking about going.
Well, you're just going for the breakfast.
You're going for the breakfast.
Just, I'm literally doing a show from there. So, I'm trying to.
He's doing a show from 11 to 1. Open the doors at half 10 to the function room. To the function room. And you'll be able to get your breakfast and enjoy the show. But if you do pre-book your breakfast by going to HighlandRadio.com or the Bonington social channels, you will be entered into a draw for a free overnight stay. So do that. Now, you can, of course, pay on the morning of the show as well, if you wish. If you want to come down, you can pay for your breakfast there and then. The only thing you're really paying for is your food, because the show's absolutely free.
Yeah, of course it is.
The show's absolutely free. So if you have already stayed in the hotel, or you are in that hotel or whatever other hotel in Dublin, and you've got your breakfast, come along
just
anyway.
Call the hotel you're in. Have the crack. Enjoy that. Finishing at 10. So
enjoy it. So there's some excellent live music lined up for you, Greg. So
I'm so excited. Can't wait.
Darren Boots coming along again.
Yeah, brilliant.
Done a mighty job on Monday night in that show. Yeah, he's good. Up Donegal song. David James will be swinging by. So we will. Our very own David James. And there may be an appearance from a certain Jimmy's one of matches.
Okay, well, listen, looking forward to all of that. And, you know, we're still working on what happens Monday, right? So we don't know what's happening Monday because we don't know how the game will go. And so everything's very fluid. But if we win, trust me, everything that you'll want to know about the match, and even reflecting on if we don't, that's going to be on Monday's show as well as all the usual channels, because it's the sports team are across it.
We're in Glenswally tomorrow night. We're going back. I know Lee was there yesterday with the kids. I'm going back out to Glenswally tomorrow. Yeah, the score program's going to be live, Glenswally.
Oh, yeah, of course you said that. Yeah.
So I'm going to go out. We're going to be joined by Neil Gallagher, of course, 2012 All Ireland winner. Dermot Brick Malloy is going to come down from Neve Connolly. He's going to come over Mineroy and up under the Glen.
Brilliant.
He's going to join us as well. And we'll be speaking to a few other club members just to set the tone and the scene and get the feel around the big match. Obviously, it's the home of Mr. Michael Murphy.
Of course.
So,
Friday's this show on Friday as well. We've a lot of stuff lined up on this show on Friday as well. So it's wall to wall.
It's wall to wall. And Lee's out today.
He is,
well,
of course. Listen, thanks very much, Josh. We'll be hearing.
Pleasure, Greg. And congratulations to Evelyn Freel again. And thanks to Airgrid as well for the tickets on the situation.
And Lawrence, thank you not only for coming over here, but for your continued support. And it's really important we support local businesses, because that's the businesses that are there to support their local communities and their local media and stuff as well. So, Lawrence, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone. We're back tomorrow morning at 9.